Right. And my answer to that is, you've tried everything but outreach. It's the one thing that hasn't been tried. But your analysis is completely correct, is that both of them have the same message, which is the working people of our society aren't being treated fairly, and I'm going to protect you. Right? And they went after him legally, and then he overthrew the democracy. The analogy is there. But the thing that I would say to Dave about the woman who's being prosecuted on the January 6th, who I want to pardon, is that she should not be part of the political debate. Okay? What she says is meaningless in our political debate. And the reason for that is she doesn't want democracy to be successful. So if you don't want the project to be successful, you can't be on the project team.
Welcome to Faith in Each Other. I'll be your host, Jordan Howard. And on this show, I want to dive into the minds and the beliefs from people of all walks of life, baby boomers to millennials. No question is off limits as we learn together and go through the journey together of seeing where we, as a society, have gone wrong and where we have gotten it right. I believe that our faith in each other can lead us into a beautiful future. Each episode, I will be joined by Reverend David Williams, my pastor, and his good friend Tom Ingram, as we talk through challenges facing our society today and gain an understanding from different perspectives. Let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our show, Faith in Each Other. I'm your host, Jordan, and I'm, of course, joined with Reverend David Williams and his good friend, Thomas Ingram. How are we doing, guys?
Doing well.
Good.
So on today's episode, we're going to speak on some comparatives or some similarities between Trump and Caesar. Although they both shared a talent for demagoguery and they both believed they were above the law, both men believe they're God's gift to humanity. What similarities do Julius Caesar and Donald Trump share? Would you say it's like comparing a genius to a moron? Will Donald Trump be remembered for 2,000 years from now, like Julius Caesar is? And of course, I want to open the floor with Tom today. Would you say Julius Caesar's biggest mistake was his practice of clemency? You know, the very people he pardoned after the Battle of Pharsalia were the ones who led the conspiracy for his assassination.
I don't think so. I think that Caesar's practice of clemency was something he did his whole career, and it's what got him to where he got to. So, but I don't view pardoning those people as the mistake that he made that led to his downfall. His downfall was from something else. But no, I believe that clemency is what got him to where he was. And I think that that was a big part of his appeal. And I think it was a big part of his power structure is that he was such a forgiving person. So, yeah, no, I think the forgiveness and the clemency got him to where he was. It ended up maybe killing him in the end. But without it, he never would have gotten to where he got.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Tom. Would you agree with Tom there, David, Pastor Dave?
You know, this is a hard one. I can tell you the truth. Trying to put my arms around it. And I hear why clemency has its benefits. I'm not yet fully processed all the way through. Is this the final best step? Will Trump be remembered like a Julius Caesar 1,000, 2,000 years from now? I definitely believe he will be definitely remembered for a host of reasons. I think he has etched himself into history. And good, bad, however you want to look at it, I believe he has placed himself where we will hear about his presidency and study his presidency and his leadership styles for years to come. But to compare him to a Julius Caesar, my gut instinct is not as a Julius Caesar. I mean, in no wise, when I think of Caesar and his background, do I place them both in the same scheme. But that's just a personal way of thinking.
Okay. Pastor Dave, does Donald Trump have the leadership skills, the same leadership skills you would say Julius Caesar had in his political power?
I say Donald Trump definitely has leadership abilities. I don't doubt that. I'm clearly from a good leader, or real leaders are able to persuade people to join in on whatever their visions are, whatever their goals are, and so convey them that people internalize them and embrace them and wholeheartedly follow them. I definitely say right off the bat, Donald Trump has been able to achieve this. And that tells me right off the bat, he is a leader. Can't take that out from him. Is he the desired leader that you want to see? I think there have been worldwide leaders who have changed the history of men and women, countries, nations, but they were not all the way for the good. And they did not always bring about positive results. And I think Donald Trump will go down as one of those who saw the norm, the normal way of doing politics and leading a nation. He won't go down as one of the traditional presidents at all. But will he go down? Will he go down as one who influenced a nation and even partnered with other world leaders? For sure he will. And so by everything I have, I can't take away Donald Trump is definitely has been and is a world changer and a definitely a leader who influences good or bad. He is a leader. Yeah.
Okay. Tom, would you agree with that he Donald Trump is a leader, in fact?
No, I think he's a leader. I think he's an opportunist. But I don't think he'll be if he destroys the American democracy, he'll be remembered for 2,000 years. Mm. If he doesn't, he won't. He'll be quickly forgotten. I don't think he's special in any way as a president as opposed to any other. But we did have historians at the White House this week warning our current president, President Biden, that our democracy is teetering. So at least the subject's out there now. Mm-hmm. And the similarity between Trump and Caesar is that Caesar was going to be prosecuted because the people didn't like him. And part of the reason why he overthrew the government is so he didn't get exiled or get executed. And to me, the analogy there, because what I'm calling for is the pardon of Donald Trump, right? Everybody gets that. I want President Biden to pardon him and all the insurrectionists on January 6th, because to me, that would be the ultimate way to undermine President Trump's message, which is that I'm protecting you. They're trying to hurt you. And then if you pardon President Trump, then his message becomes meaningless. And, you know, the same thing would have happened with Caesar if they could have just let him go. I mean, I think he wouldn't be remembered now. Right. The only reason he's remembered is because he destroyed the democracy. He's not remembered for his wars in Gaul. Other people did that. So what I would call on people to do is the historians that were at the White House this week, they were just talking about American examples. Well, there's plenty of other examples about democracy, including the Caesar one. And my question for people that want to prosecute President Trump right now is it worth it? Is it really worth it to risk the democracy itself? And as far as what's going to hold future presidents back, it's got to be the people. We have to have faith in the people. We have to have faith in each other that we'll reject people like President Trump when they act that way. Mm-hmm. And it's not working now because you have the fear thing. But if you did the pardon thing, that would take away the fear thing, and then we'd be back in the game. That's all I'm saying. But the reason Caesar overthrew the government, because he was afraid of prosecution. That is the truth. And if we could have just pardoned him or given him his You know, and then the other thing about Caesar is he could win an election just like Trump. So, you know, the he had popular opinion and an army. But but yeah, no, President Trump will be quickly forgotten if the democracy survives.
You know, I still am trying to chew what a pardon might otherwise say to. It seems like you want a pardon, and I may be thinking of pardons and why we pardon anyone for any purpose in our legal system. But seeing what I understand, when we pardon someone, it doesn't take away that you have been charged with possibly a crime of some magnitude, but you would hope that in the pardon, the person who is being pardoned is not still saying, you know, I'm going to continue at the pace that I've been, or I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing at the detriment of a country because I still need, you know, to sing to a particular group or a particular philosophy. I think that's my hardest thing, Tom, when you talk about pardon. You know, is to pardon those who were part of the insurrection on January the 6th, those who have just said, you know, hey, we're ready for a revolution. I read about one lady who was just now brought to court in January 6th, and her whole words were, I went to start a revolution. I need to do a revolution. I'm with the people who want to create a revolution. And I find it hard to say, I want to pardon this person who's still saying, I see nothing wrong in my re-steering America. By pardoning that person, am I giving that person permission to further cause a problem in these United States, even if democracy is floundering? Am I still adding gasoline to those who are saying, all right, I'm you know, I can step back. I want to join and save our democracy, or am I saving my own face? That's probably where I hold the problem of, is there a blanket pardon to be established when people have just said, I still am not pro for this country. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to build my groups, my support system as often as I get a chance. So that's why I am not yet ready for that full pardon thing.
Yeah, where are the pardons for the minor nonviolent drug charges and things of that nature? Now, I feel like a pardon could knock the wind out of Trump's claim to martyr status. That allowed him to rally the GOP to his side. Would you agree with that? That it would be the one thing that's taking his claim to fame, his martyrdom, it would just take the wind out of his sails. That's how I feel on that.
I am not so sure what it's going to take the wind out of the sails for Trump's reaching for stardom, history at a unprecedented fashion. I thought, you know, when Trump left the last election, that would have taken the wind out of its sails. It didn't. It just heightened the wind in its sails. I thought when Trump was brought up for charges and was impeached, that would take the wind out of his sails. It did not. I see now, the more and more we get closer to the next election, Trump is in full regalia. He's in full steam. I'm going to do to this nation what I want to do to this nation, come what may. And I just don't see anything taking the steam out of Donald Trump's hands until Donald Trump himself pleads, I have done enough. I don't know what it will take. I don't even know if a pardon would please Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump would turn it and fashion it to say, hey, this is all you had. You know, you couldn't get me any other way. You had to pardon me. Now, I think he will rev his base up even higher. They will say, finally, justice has happened. We're still going to tear this country up. We're still going to fight against one another until there's nobody left but those who dance to Donald Trump's music. I just don't see it being the catch that would bring Donald Trump down to a sense of humility. And could we move on? I don't believe it would be. No.
Okay. Well, right. Tom, back to Julius Caesar. He was broke for half of his life, and Donald Trump was born rich, and he made himself richer. Would you say the only thing that they had in common was they got themselves into political power by appealing to the working class that was fed up with the dysfunctional government and the economy? And like Pastor David said, you know, how with the every little thing, it seems like he's going to use to further his campaign, it seems like. So even a pardon or anything, like admitting, conceding to him, or like anything, it seems like we're just going to fail. Now that I'm reading over some of my notes. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And my answer to that is... My answer to that is you've tried everything but outreach. It's the one thing that hasn't been tried. But your analysis is completely correct, is that both of them had the same message, which is the working people of our society aren't being treated fairly, and I'm going to protect you. Right? And they went after him legally, and then he overthrew the democracy. The analogy is there. But the thing that I would say to Dave about the woman who's being prosecuted on the January 6th, who I want to pardon, is that she should not be part of the political debate. Okay. What she says is meaningless in our political debate. And the reason for that is she doesn't want democracy to be successful. So if you don't want the project to be successful, you can't be on the project team. So what she's saying is meaningless. Her voice is, I mean, she has the right to free speech, but what she says doesn't matter because she's already signed up. She will not sign up for defending democracy. So what she says is meaningless. We're not talking about her. We're talking about the people who kind of sympathize with them, but aren't all the way there in giving up on democracy yet. Those are the people we're trying to reach out to in the pardon. She's meaningless. Right. She's being pardoned as a symbol to speak out to other people who are still in the game, who still believe in democracy. That's what I'm saying. And as far as President Trump, yeah, everybody's done all kinds of things to try to undermine his message. But outreach has not been tried. What I'm calling for has not been tried. And if, you know, President Biden could just find his way to get on TV and say, hey, President Trump's voters, I have faith in you. I have faith in you. If you could just do that, I think the probability of civil war would crash. You know, I think we're at a real risk of it now. And if you could just reach out, even just with words, no sacrifice, no pardon, just words. I respect you for who you are, and I feel like your opinion is equal to mine. Just that. But no, we do not need historians in the White House telling the president what to do. It's good. What they told him is good, absolutely. But the answer comes from our ministers of religion. If we want to get along with the other people, if we want to reach out to people, Christ is the example. That's what I think. And I think Dave would be a way better messenger on this than me. But what I would call for is a national day of reconciliation in the church, where every minister in the United States gives a sermon that Sunday recommending how Democrats and Republicans can put down their petty differences and get along and fight for the country instead of their own party. That's what I would call it.
I definitely, I mean, what Tom is advocating, I definitely stand 100% behind. 100%. 100% is how do we stop hurting one another with our terrible carnage of bad words and self-destroying one another? When will we cease to do that? I agree. You will never ever heal on either side, but I think how to bring people to that, and can we come to that place, is my great question, because everyone is so entrenched or have dug down deep in their position that when we first started our podcast, one of the things we always said, people will say what they believe that their group wants to hear, so they are not put out of their group. And I was just in Nebraska and at a retreat, right, and we were saying some of the same things. People are so fearful of being ostracized from their group. The big thing that you do is, I have to agree with the group, whether I agree with the group or not, but I don't want to be put out of my group. And I so believe if we could, instead of trying to verbally destroy the other one, to say that our country is on fire, it's on the brink of being destroyed, what can we do to put the fire out? I would love to hear all sides come to that. What could we do to put the fire out without saying, my man, my woman is the answer? It is what's best for our country. And I am just not sure that we will ever come to that. I just haven't seen that yet. Yeah.
Right. Living wages and a supportive infrastructure is the type of outreach I'd like to see, for sure, because we're all struggling to survive while the American dream is dead. Now, I want to get to the catch-22 here. If we pardon these people, will we just show that you can get away with these crimes as long as you're white? And if we don't pardon them, will we then further divide the country with the us versus them rhetoric? And what punishment makes the right feel as if the left has malice? Like you said, Tom, before, outreach, at what level? You said just a simple, parlay, but how do we get to that level of outreach? How is that attainable there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe Jesus is the example. If we want to look to outreach, he's our example. But I definitely agree with what you said first, which is that if we had a living wage, that would undermine Donald Trump's message too. If working in, again, I believe that the reason the working class is has done so poorly economically is because it's divided by race. But if we could get to the point where the working people in our country were getting a fair shake, a fair piece of the pie, then that would completely undermine Donald Trump's message. But as far as pardoning him and sending the wrong message, the message that pardoning him sent, in my opinion, is that we trust the people, right? We don't have to take control of it and prosecute him and take him off the board. We trust the people to make the right selection. Okay. We're not going to make it for you. That's what I hear.
Pastor David, do you have anything you would like to comment on there?
Again, even when I hear us say let's venture into a more equitable wages, we don't know how to even do that, Tom. If one side says, we need to raise up money for those who are barely making it through inflation and whatever other issues that are hurting them for living a somewhat better lives. The other, we are so I don't like the other side, even though I know it's true that we could be better. We don't come to the table saying that is a better way. We will fight. We will argue. We will say where we're going to get the money from. We cannot afford it. People need to just work. We need to strip social welfare. I think we've been there. I think people have talked about higher wages or better wages. But even when we talk about social issues that we know are a issue in America, there doesn't seem to be anything that we can be bipartisan on, even if it's true. And I just don't understand. I guess I don't, even though I know the teachings of Jesus Christ, I'm not sure we as a nation are ready to implement it. And because we're not ready to implement the teachings of Jesus Christ, then we would prefer to be at odds one with the other. And somehow we have so sunk to that what we call nationalism, we just believe it's our allegiance to our group that matters. And I don't understand how even believing to choose a issue that has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats per se, but has something to do with America. We've been stuck there for years. So how is that going to make a difference? I don't see any one or two or three issues being our common denominator. We don't have a commonness yet. Yeah.
Well, let me play marriage counselor for you, Lindy. Okay. I've listened to what you guys have to say. I've heard the whole thing. And I can tell you right now.
Yes.
Democrats and Republicans, your marriage is in danger. You're about to get divorced. Okay. There were historians in the White House confirming that. So my hope is that people hear that our democracy could be lost, and then that generates enough fear that we want to start looking for alternatives on how to reconcile. That's my hope. And when we get to that point, I honestly believe that Jesus is the answer.
We're not ready to go there yet. We have to go through the fear part. High on the horizon. I agree with you, and I think that it's right in front of us. But I think we're in a nation now where people are saying, let the divorce happen. Me and mine will go to the left.
The Trump people are. The Democrats aren't there.
I think
yet.
People are just saying, let the divorce
happen.
It's
not happen. Over yet.
And
yeah, you that's, you're right.
Our but it's, and I think that's what we're saying.
And then we need to let them know how bad it's going to be. And Caesar's a really good example.
Something that
you can go back to the
mind.
Caesar example, because there are three.
When we say, if we don't do this, then democracy is in trouble. What we may have failed to take into account is how people over their lifetime have understood what democracy is. And for some people, and I'm not just talking about the January the 6th people who were so adamant about reshaping the government. But I do think you have people across America, Republican and Democrat, who have said this thing called democracy has never, ever worked for all people. And I think because of that, and I'm not in no wise trying to embrace that. I'm just trying to say, I think as I listen, I think people are coming to a point where they're saying this democracy that we are trying to hold on has not served us well, even if we do keep it. And so there are some who are saying, without following a Trump or the insurrectionists, they are just saying the very thing we're trying to hold on to is the very thing that's causing the pain in the country. And is there another is there another way that we can find our pathway forward? And if it is democracy and the way democracy has lived out itself since 1776, not everybody has been pleased with it. And I'm just paraphrasing this. And so even when you tell people, if we don't do something, we're going to lose democracy, there are some saying, well, let democracy go. Just let it go, because it hasn't served me well.
Yeah.
And I don't even, and these has nothing to do with Trump. With the Trump supporters. So I'm just, even when you raise the flag and say, hey, emergency, we're about to lose our democracy, I'm not so sure if everybody thinks that's a bad thing.
But the one thing I would finish with is that if you don't fear what it would be like to get divorced, then we have an obligation to pass democracy on to the next generation.
Sure.
The previous generations all fought for it to give it to us, and we have an obligation to give it to the next people. And if it's not serving us well, that's our problem. That's because of us. So, right. We don't want to get divorced, but also we have an obligation based on our ancestors to pass it on to the next generation and give them a chance to try to do better than what we're doing.
I agree.
All right. Well, many feel democracy is a sham. And as history taught us with Caesar, there are some backlash when the people are fed up. But a pardon can show the goodwill to those who identify with the right, but don't feel or agree with the insurrectionist behavior, and will do whatever it takes to preserve the democracy. But will it ever come to this? Will we see a divorce before we see our democracy healed? Thank you, everyone, for joining us again on Faith in Each Other. And thank you, Pastor Dave. And thank you, Tom. We'll see you guys next time.
Always good to see you guys.
Yeah. Have a great evening.
You too.
We'll do it, man.
You too. Thank you so much for listening to Faith in Each Other. I hope today's conversation encourages you in your journey to have hard conversations and, most importantly, to listen to others around you. If we're going to have faith in each other, I believe we need to be willing to have hard conversations, and that is what we aim to do on this show. We will see you next time on Faith in Each Other. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with someone you know. See you next time.